All right, tonight's study's title is God's Gift for the Hurting. God's Gift for the Hurting. Christmas for mostly children are happiest time of the year. Because, why? They are getting what they want, right? Hopefully. But for some people, a lot of people, it can be one of the hardest time of the year. Maybe it's because they have a false expectation. Or maybe just remind them of the death, their loved one who passed away not very long ago, or some time ago. Or they just went through divorce or separation. Maybe they are without families. Maybe they are a single person, away from family. Somehow they feel that all these holidays for families, and somehow they feel that they don't fit in. Or even though they are married, some other case, even though they are married, they feel lonely because their spouse involved with the alcohol, gambling, or adultery, they feel left out. Or the family is going through horrendous financial difficulty due to job loss, or you fill the blank. So whatever the reason is that the Christmas can be most dreaded time of the year for those who are lonely and hurting. I believe that the Lord has a lesson for us for those who are hurting. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are great and a wonderful and loving, comforting God. You comfort us with the comfort that we can share with those who are suffering. Our Savior, who went through His share of the difficulty and dreadful time, and He was the most loneliest man in the whole universe. He was because of us. Teach us from the different side of aspect of Christmas. God's gift, Jesus Christ, for the hurting. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at the chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 23. Chapter 1, 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. What is the essential message of the Christmas? I say it is that Emmanuel has come to us. According to this verse we read, is Emmanuel means God with us. Christmas is all about undoing loneliness. Christmas is all about undoing loneliness. The message of Christmas is that you are not alone. You are not alone. Why? Because God came to us to be with us. Let's face it, people are fickle. One moment, they love you. Next moment, they hate you. One moment you are in the penthouse, next moment you are in the outhouse. It doesn't take a very long for you to go from one end to another end because they like you, they love you, and they hate you, God. But God is the same. He loves you yesterday, He loves you today, and He loves you forever. It's not this distant God, but He is God who come amongst us. He stay with us. It's probably the message of Christmas is that you are not alone, and because He is with us. And there is absolutely no other religion in the world that their gods come to the followers, their followers, to be like them and to carry the followers' burdens on their shoulder and ultimately die for followers all alone. Do you know any other gods who would do that? There is no resemblance. Jesus knew what it was to be lonely. And he was probably the loneliest man, as I mentioned in the prayer. Yes, he was always had the throngs of people who followed him around everywhere he went until the final day. That shallow multitude deserted him like a rats getting away when the cat showed up. And even that his hand-picked disciples deserted him. Don't think that if you were a disciple or if I were a disciple, I would defend Jesus. Right. I don't think so. And in Isaiah, they strike the shepherd, sheep scatters. As he hung on the cross, when all of our sins dumped on him, even his father turned his back on his own son. And no wonder why he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. As you know, that is Aramaic, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knows what it's like to be lonely, but also say to us, I am with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the promise to the child of God, and we are never, never, never alone. Before we think about how much comfort our God with us bring to us, we must think about three things. So start with the first one. The mystery of the incarnation. Mystery of incarnation. It really is an amazing thing that to think about the mystery of the incarnation. The mysterious moment when God became a man. God the Son was born in the manger. He went from the throne of heaven to this manger, carved trough, smothered with the animals' saliva. From the presence of angel to the cave were filled with the animals. Don't think that those animals just took a shower. They stunk. Last night when I walked into the horse stable, it stunk so bad I walked out. Obviously, I'm a city folk. And he's the very God who could hold the entire universe in the palm of his hand, and as the psalm says, from that great big God, and he became an embryo. He who sustained the world with a word chose to be depend on the nourishment of the virgin gall. Some people have a hard time believing the virgin birth. But if you say that you believe the Bible, let me make it very, very clear to you. As you can tell, I'm not one of those people who pick and choose what I want to believe from the Bible. I believe from this cover to this cover, everything, including virgin birth. Even though I don't understand, I believe because the Bible says. And end of discussion, whether I believe or not, Bible says the fact. So if you say the Bible is true, you better believe virgin birth. Do you know how many pastors don't believe virgin birth? A lot. And how do they expect their congregation to believe? They cannot. Bible teaches the Almighty was supernaturally conceived in the womb of a virgin. And people say, well, that's impossible. Exactly. My point. That's why we call miracle. Hello. If you can explain miracle, they ain't miracle. This makes sense if you think about it. If God could have chose, God could have chosen to, he could have sent Jesus with a shaft of light from heaven, golden light, of course, to the earth. Not in Bethlehem. What's in Bethlehem? preferably Rome, huh? And shaft the light and Jesus Christ in the full adult form just gliding down like this. And he said, ta-da, I'm here. I'm the savior of the universe. Proclaiming his arrival. Only problem is, we know he's God, but how can we relate with him? We are but human. We are but dust. We could not relate him. What if he was actually born between husband and wife? Problem. How can we believe that he is 100% God? Born out of a sinful man, born out of a sinful woman, that child is born with a sinful nature. Problem is that that child should be perfect Lamb of God, but it was already ridden with sin. First example could not be done because human could not relate with him. And the second could not be done because he's not good enough to be God. So what did God do? He made a happy medium. Out of a woman, God planned Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the incarnation. Am I making clear to you? The event of the incarnation is the reason for this Christmas season. Christmas is the opportunity to worship God. Folks, it's not about gifts. Wow, what a surprise. It's not about Walmart. Yeah, ask Wayne. He works there. Christmas is, let me say one more time, Christmas is an opportunity to worship our God, to bow down, to pay homage to him for humbling himself, appearing in human form. That stands as a true mystery of incarnation. That is the reason why we celebrate Christmas. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. You there yet? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider the robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of bondservant. Look at that job description, qualification he's making here. Coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, given him the name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. Someday, because you guys said Jesus is Lord with a voluntarily heart, then he will say, you are my children. Someday, those who are standing against him now will say Jesus is Lord. But because they reject him, I've never known you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Second thing I'd like to show to you is about God's ultimate gift. God's ultimate gift. Galatians chapter 4. From the Philippians, turn to left. Between 2 Corinthians and Ephesians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that's us, that we might receive adoption as sons. Folks, I don't think that that we fully understand how great this gift of God, that is Jesus Christ, to mankind. If we did, there wouldn't be one person who would reject Jesus Christ. Knowing who He is, this is very important. Knowing who He is reveals how sinful we are and how desperately we need Him. Because the people choose not to know Jesus Christ, that's when all the hell come on alive to them. All the other religion essentially says, do this, do this, do this. Do this, then you might be closer to your God. Or do that, then you might have a peace with your God because He's angry at you. When, as you guys know, I came from the country where Buddhism is a big thing. And ancestry worship is a big thing. I used to hate to go into the Buddhist temple. As you walk into the temple, there is I think it's four pictures of gigantic warriors. They have this long lens. The end of the lens is not a spear. It's a kind of, more like a machete. They attach a machete and at the end of the lens. So I guess all they got to do is swing the thing and then chopping the head off. They look so mean. I was a kid. I mean, I was probably, now I would have fun with my M4, but for those who are totally uncool, what the M4 means is my M16 rifle. Anyway, this statue is standing there and scared the snot out of everybody. And what's this for? They are supposed to protect the temple. Also, they will judge you. So I'm already doomed from the beginning. Fear gripped me. But when I came to Jesus Christ, there was not a fear. He was releasing me from the hand of Satan to His comfort, to His peace. Which God do you want? God who you have to fear all the time, just hoping that you would be in the best side of Him, or God who will give you comfort and peace and love and hope? So they said, do this, do this, do this. But Christianity could be summed up in one word. Done. If you want to say it in three words, it is finished. That's what Jesus said. It is finished. In banking term, it was input into your account. All of your debt. Let's say you owe, just big enough, $2 trillion, like what our country owe. For this year. And not to mention what he's going to rack up next year. Let's say you owe $2 trillion and you're making $1,500 a year. So how are you going to pay that? And you are 50. How many years left? You cannot make it. But God, somebody showed up, this a trillion year, showed up and said, oh yeah, I'll just write a check for $2 billion, $2 trillion. I'll just put it into your account. That's input. God, who has unlimited amount of wealth, He just put that all of His holiness into our account. So in Father's eyes, because of Jesus' holiness, we are holy. Do you know any other God who can do that? So Christianity is summed up in the done, because God is with us. It is not doing something through God, but it is God living in our lives through us. It is Emmanuel, God with us. Still, the real message of Jesus Christ is not the gift that we give to each other. Rather, it is a reminder of the gift that God has given to each of us. It is the only gift that keep on keeps on giving. Not like the one some you hear in the, on TV commercial. So I want to point out the four different things about this particular gift. Start with, it is surprising. It is surprising. When the Christmas rolls around, you often try to figure out what you're going to get, right? So what do? You try to guess. Okay, what is my wife's going to get for me? What is my husband's going to get for me? And maybe you already know what they're going to get for you, what she's going to get for you, what he's going to get for you. Or maybe you just, but your spouse did not hide it so well, so you ask something. Or maybe you desperately look for that thing and found it. And on that Christmas, on the Christmas day, you have to what? Act surprised. Oh, really? Oh, you got this for me? Uh-huh. Yet all along, you knew what it was supposed to be. Sometimes you thought you're going to get that particular thing, and you open it up. What? What's this? But you cannot really say that. So you say, oh, you shouldn't have. You meant real every word. Here's a trick. Listen. Here's a trick. Just repack it. Re-gift it to somebody else. It's like a fruitcake, you know? You just pass it around every year. Listen. God's gift to us, however, is a complete surprise. It was a complete surprise. Nobody, even the angels knew. No, Satan did not know. It was not expected. As you examine it more carefully, you realize how great gift it actually was. Second point I'd like to bring to you is that God's gift came to us in humblest wrapping. Humblest wrapping. Let's face it. Let's say there's a pile of gifts around your under your Christmas tree. And there's one particular gift wrapped in newspaper with a horrible job of taping all over. And the first inclination is you will say, a man wrapped that thing, right? Except Mark Trudeau. Mark Trudeau make everything perfect. Look at the decoration in this place. So when you look at the gift, when we think about God's gift, he was not born in the palace of gold. And he was born in the stable. He was not clothed in the robe of royalty, but he was clothed in the rag. He was laid in the feeding trough, as I said before. Yet these things do not in any way diminish the story of Christ's birth. If anything, it helps us realize what a great sacrifice God made for us. God's gift to humanity, ultimate gift of eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, came in the simplest and humblest of wrapping. You know what the swaddling clothes is? Swaddling clothes for the dead person. That child destined to die for someone. Third point I'd like to bring it to you, we don't deserve this gift. We do not deserve God. At Christmas, we give a gift to those whom we care about, those whom we thought who were kind, but not to the one whom we don't like to hang around. Come on, don't give me the holy look. You guys don't have somebody you don't like to hang around, right? Would you take out the CJ out to moon? Or somebody who give you a gift. Now what do? You have to scramble to get the gift for that person, right? And that's when the regifting really comes in handy. The one you didn't want, just give it to that guy. But you don't give it to somebody who slander you. If you're like me, most likely. And you don't give a gift to the neighbor who bad mouth at you, or have a dog that barks day and night. Yet God gave us a gift when we are still enemies. He didn't give us this gift to us because we deserve it. In fact, it was just opposite. The Bible tells it differently. Romans 5:8. Am I going too fast? But God demonstrated His own love toward us. In that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Fourth point I'd like to bring it to you is the gift tells us something about the giver. Gift tells about something about the giver. When you want to give someone gift, you usually start to think about what am I going to give. Probably I told you about this. One time, about 30 years ago, I shared this with CJ on the way here, and he said, yeah, you repeat that thing every year. Well, probably, bear with me. One time I bought a clothes for my wife. It was not a good idea. She was trying to be really, really nice, but she had that face on her, facial expression on her face. It's like you're a total idiot thing. I was thinking, oh, it's that bad. I said, oh, yeah, it's that bad. So from now on, just give me the money. And then she bought me this thing. I don't know. I forgot what it was. And I had that look. And I was thinking, you could give me that money for something else. I could buy some. You know, I was thinking something else. So I said the same thing. Why don't you give me the money? So when... Between two of us, our gift exchange is so simple. Yeah, here is the money, go. When God decided to give us a gift, eternal life, it wasn't something that He just came up on the fly. Long before there was a town called Bethlehem, long before there was a garden called Eden, long before there was a planet called Earth, ever existed. Before the foundation of universe, before the chapter 1 or verse 1 of Genesis ever written, He knew what He had to do. Because He knew in His infinite wisdom and foresight, unlimited foresight, He knew what the man's going to do. Man's going to fall. And He said, you're going to go get them through your death. Revelation chapter 13, please. Bless you. If you found a map, you went too far. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All who dwell on earth will worship Him whose names has not been written in the Lamb's book of life of the Lamb, slain from what? Foundation of the world. Folks, make no mistake about it. This gift that God has given to us was the most sacrificial thing He possibly could have offered. Now, I bring it to the point, the last one. God's gift for the hurting. God's gift for the hurting. My wife, Karen, used to wrap this present until the wee hours in the morning for 4 grandkids. She coordinated all this color paper and everything had to be right. She cannot just cut it and then put it together with the scotch tape. She had to fold one more time. So edge looks even. I look at it, and then it was like 1 in the morning. My eyes are going, doing funny things. My head is saying, I'm checking out that idea. And I looked at it. You actually think that your 5-year-old kid's going to care? She said, It's not about them. It's my love for them. So she did all of that. And a few hours later, of course, she slept like a 2 or 3 hours in the morning. And then she take all half of the house to the, our grandkids. And the 4 cyclones come by. And the paper flying everywhere, the balls flying everywhere. And then, great-grandma, great-grandpa. And do you know what they say? Is there more? No. She got smarter. She put it in the bag. Here. She loves bags. Folks, Christmas is not about gift that you can put it under the tree. All those things will be gone in one day. In the end, all we have left is a human soul. It will live forever. Bless you. We put too much stock on the things. Do you know there are people who will not have a Christmas unless they have a present, even if it cost them arm and leg. It cost them, put them into the further debt. They will run up the credit card. They will run up the debt just to have that whatever that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. I almost said 2 Corinthians. Yeah. I think I'm getting tired. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Actually, for 5 hours, honest goodness, yesterday, I was asking God for 5 hours. Okay, I start with this one, and then start with another one, and another one. What do I teach, Lord? And pretty soon I came up with, narrow it down to the 2 things, God's gift, and another one for hurting. I was thinking, and then guys, I felt the guys telling me, combine them. Oh yeah, God's gift for the hurting. Why didn't I think of that? Chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what?
Temporary.
We put whole lot of stock on the things that will not last long. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, life is about what happened beyond the grave. Life is about knowing God who made us and who gave us the greatest gift we will ever receive. How many of you guys know the Philip Yancey? Good author. Good. I highly recommend. If you can, Terry.
I'm here.
Of course, you're there. Let's get a couple books of Philip Yancey. I don't know, still in print.
Yeah.
Where is God when it hurts? I highly recommend this book. I exerted this portion. Christians don't really know how to interpret the pain. When you pin them against the wall in a dark, secret moment, many Christians would probably admit that pain was God's one mistake. He really should have worked a little harder and invented a better way of coping with the wall's dangers. It's easy for us to think that pain is not something we should have. Since I talk about the comfort, since I talk about pain, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves comforted by God. First, God comforts us. And with the same comfort we receive, we can comfort the one who is going through almost the same kind of trouble. While God uses difficult trials and tests to draw us close to Him, Satan used them as levers to pry us away from Him. He can do that. He can try. I said He can try. You know who makes the decision? Trial and test can either make you to be very, very close to God or very far away from God. Satan cannot make you to do that. God cannot make you to do that. We make a final decision. Jesus is not one of those so-called gods who might tell their followers, suck it up from the distance. But he already has gone through his own suffering and difficulty to let us know that he understands what we go through. In our term, folks, he would say, been there, done that, bought the t-shirts. If that is not good enough, God remind us, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Whatever gift you may have waiting for you this Christmas, they are pale in comparison to the God's gift for you. It's better than anything, even the name of Marcus' catalog. For the fun of it, I went there. Check it out. Child dress. Honest goodness, child dress. The minimum price, $76. It's no different than the dress you would see in Walmart for $10. Just one piece dress. It does not even have that one of those glittery things. And woman's clothes, t-shirts start at $300. You know, if it's a coach purse, $300, yeah, maybe so. But this is just woman's t-shirts at $300. And there are idiots who actually buy those things. 2006, they were charging $1.7 million for the space trip. How about that? If you put your trust in any human solution to save you, then you will be disillusioned. Even if you put your trust in religion, you will only be let down. Our only hope is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and God in us. He is God's ultimate gift for hurting humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your indescribable gift. While so-called other gods said, do this for me and suck it up. But Your Son said, follow Me. You comfort us with the comfort You received from the Father, that we may comfort others who are going through a tough time. More than just gift exchange, more than anything, let our heart be gift to You. What can we get for You who has everything? Other than our heart, other than our lives. We love You. Happy birthday, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.